Live from New York City,
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
At 7:24 in the morning, Michael Riedel keeps delivering guests. And another sir on the show, Sir Tim Rice.
Absolutely. Jesus Christ Superstar will be broadcast live on NBC Sunday night, Easter Sunday, starting at 8 o'clock. John Legend stars as JC. Sarah Bareilles is playing Mary Magdalene. And Alice Cooper as King Herod. Everybody knows those lyrics, and the man who wrote them joins us here this morning. Good morning to you, Tim Rice, my good friend. How are you, Tim?
Hello, Michael. Nice to hear you.
Do you ever get tired of hearing those great lyrics? I mean, everybody in the world knows Jesus Christ, Superstar. Who are you? What have you sacrificed?
Well, I don't know, really. I don't play them at home a lot, but I'm always quite grateful if somebody, you know, somebody else plays them for me.
How do I sound when I sing them?
We'll let you know.
Thank you, Tim.
Well, it's not only hi, Sir Tim. This is Len Berman here in New York, and
hello, Len.
You're in London, correct?
No, I'm in Cornwall, which is a remote part of the United Kingdom. Very beautiful. It's about as close as you can get to America without leaving England.
But you're coming in for the broadcast tomorrow.
Yes,
Sunday
I am. I'm staggering in tomorrow night.
But it's not just Jesus Christ Superstar. It's Lion King. Great songs like Circle of Life. It's Evita. Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Let me ask you the stupidest question that anybody ever asked you, and I'm sure you're tired of answering this.
Well, you've a lot of competition in that department.
So what comes first?
Oh, no.
The lyrics or the music?
Oh, my God, Len, please.
Is that a serious question? Because yeah. I'll happily give you the answer.
Yes.
With a musical, the key thing is to get the story right first. You've got to get the story, the outline of the basic plot. And then having got that, then the composer and the lyricist can work in either order. Most of the time, I've worked with people who like to stick the tune onto the story, as it were, and then I add the lyrics. But on both, I mean, both my stage of writing and the composer's stage of writing, we know what the story is. The only one who works in the other way is Elton, who always likes the lyric first. So with Elton, it was for The Lion King and Aida and things like that. It was story, then the words, then the music.
Well, here's part two of the stupid question. When you get the music first, have you ever been really tortured to fit in a lyric to make that work with the number of syllables?
Yes, it's good for you, though, as a lyricist. I think if you get the music first, you have to be concise. And if you say something in eight syllables, it's nearly always better than saying it in eight words. Mm. So the danger of writing lyrics first is that you can become a bit waffly and ramble on, rather like I'm doing at the moment. but on the other hand, you have more freedom if you're a lyricist and you haven't got a tune. But I think by and large, and Elton is a great exception that proves the rule, and you know he is so brilliant, one would never... I'm so happy to have worked with him that way round, as it were. But it's really, I think, composers on the whole, the guys who write the music or the gals who write the music, should really be free to go where they want. And the people who write the lyrics should try and be concise and precise rather than waffle on.
Mm. Tim, you and Andrew wrote Jesus Christ Superstar when you were in your 20s. I mean, it's a big subject to take on. Was it the arrogance of youth to think that you could take the Bible and turn it into a rock album?
I guess it was. We didn't really intend to do it initially as an album. We were trying to write for the theater, and nobody wanted to do it in the theater over here in Britain. So we sort of reluctantly did it as a record. But the good news was we were allowed to spend within reason what we wanted on the record. So we were able to combine the forces of a rock rhythm section. And people forget sometimes that Superstar has a terrific rock rhythm section on the original album. And we were, and that plus orchestra, choir. So these were forces we would never have had in the theater had we started that way. And we often think that if we had started in the theater with Superstar, it would never have got to where it is today. It would never have survived. It probably would have run 3 weeks in an out-of-town theater, and people would have said, well, that was a bit weird, because we wouldn't have had a rock rhythm section in an orchestra in a theater in 1971 the technology wasn't ready for it. We were very lucky that we did it as a record first, because then the real rock feel came out, and I think that's what will come out again in the show tomorrow night. Was it Sunday night?
Sunday night at 8 on NBC. We're on with the great Tim Rice, wrote the lyrics for Jesus Christ Superstar, for Evita, for Lion King. So are you done, or are you working on something new?
Well, I've got a few things floating around. My last show, which didn't do that well in London, but picked up a lot of interest from some American directors and producers, called From Here to Eternity, which, of course, is a very famous American story. We're working on doing a fairly major workshop of that later this year in New York, so we can get producers to see it and understand that this, I think, is a show with a great score by Stuart Brayson, my words, great book by Donald, and I'm hopeful that will work. But sometimes I think the world's had too much of my stuff, and maybe I should just...
No.
You can't get enough of Evita, Jesus Christ Superstar, The Lion King, Aida. Come on, Tim.
Aida. I love Aida, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Bother a lot.
Very quickly, last question for you, Tim. Whose idea was it to do Jesus Christ Superstar? Was that your idea or Andrew's?
Well, it was something I'd wanted to do way before... I even met Andrew, but I had no belief that I would ever be in a position to do it. And I used to think at school when I was about 15, Judas Iscariot, Pontius Pilate. I mean, I was at a very religious school where we had a lot of divinity lessons, a lot of scripture, a lot of chapel, which I didn't really mind. It was quite interesting, certainly historically. And I used to think when I was very young, Judas really was a little unlucky in that he was around at the time. And in the Bible, he was only ever dismissed as a rather cardboard cutout figure of evil. He doesn't really put forward his case anywhere in the Bible, if he had a case, and I believe he did. And I also feel slightly with Pontius Pilate, that here was a bloke who was trying to run a rather sort of rebellious state of Rome way out in the sticks, and he suddenly is face to face with something which he doesn't quite understand. And these were things which intrigued me, and I thought, if I was a fairly ordinary chap in those times, would I recognize Jesus as God?
That is the question.
That's the thing that intrigued me. And the wonderful Bob Dylan song, Did Judas Iscariot Have Bob on His Side? He did, actually. Did Judas Iscariot Have God on His Side? That was a lyric which made me think in about 1965. I thought, that idea about Judas isn't a bad one. But obviously, working closely with Andrew and living with him, we discussed it, and if Andrew had shown no interest in it, we wouldn't have done it.
Well, I'm glad you did it, because it's a classic, Jesus Christ Superstar on NBC Live, the broadcast. Tim, I will see you Sunday night.
Great. I wear a carnation, so you recognize me.
And thanks for putting up with my dumb questions, Tim.
Not at all, Len. It was, seriously, it is an interesting question.
All right, thanks.
Great to talk to you,
appreciate
Tim. Take care. We'll see you Sunday night.